I'm telling you, that's good tonight, wasn't it?
Amen.
That's right, miss. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Well, I'm kind of wrestling around here what I need to do. I believe I'm just going to give a little short. I ain't ever been short, I know, but we'll give a little something anyway. I think it's going to be short, relatively speaking. What I normally do, well, I sure am glad I'm saved.
Yeah, amen.
I would sure hate to be in this world that we're in today and be lost. I just hate to be there. I want you to turn. I'll tell you what, why don't we pray and try to find God, make sure I've got direction I need. I know sometimes you all probably think this, you're just killing yourself trying to find the will of God and all the scriptures good. But see, God has a purpose for tonight. And it's real important we find His will. It's real important you're in His will tonight. Real important. My, it's just, it's critical. And so I hope you've been obedient to the Spirit of God. I pray and hope you have been. If you haven't, I'm just going to say this, shame on you. Shame on you. He's been too good to us.
Amen.
You just read the first and second chapter of Colossians. He's been too good to us. Ain't that right, Dre?
Yes,
I mean, everything we have, hope to have, ever hope to be, it's all tied up in the Savior.
Amen.
I used to say this all the time. I've kind of got away from it. All my eggs are in one basket. Now, I used to hear you ought not put all your eggs in one basket, but all mine's in one basket.
Yes, sir.
That's in Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm well satisfied to have them there, too. I'm satisfied with that. Well, I want to preach to the young people tonight. After we pray, if the Lord doesn't change me during the prayer, I want to try to preach to the young folks tonight. Well, really preach to everybody, but specifically to the young folk. I'm going to ask, Brother Bud, would you just ask direction tonight?
Heavenly Father, I come before
Father,
you.
You
come
know.
To the hour, Heavenly Father, well, we need your help, your direction. I'll
help me now.
Father, you satisfy my pastor's mind, Heavenly Father. God, he's found your will for this servant. Father, you've got a purpose and a reason, Heavenly Father God, for everything in your word. You placed your hand on it, placed it above your name, and I pray you'd lead my pastor right now to direct us, Heavenly Father, according to your will, and you get glory and honor out of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray one more time. Brother Dre, would you care to pray for us? Ask direction for tonight.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, if you would, please, Lord, just lay your hand on the pastor and just show him the direction you want him to go, Lord, between the two messages, Lord. Please, dear Heavenly Father, just help him, Lord, to understand your will, dear Heavenly Father, what would be the best for each and every one of us that sit out here and listen to the message, Lord. Please, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just help him, Lord, to realize and understand what your will is for the hour. Lord, I thank you and I love you, Lord. Don't let anything hinder your Holy Spirit's working this evening, Lord. Don't let anybody or anything hinder it, Lord. I love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to Luke 15. I pray that's what the Lord wants. And if I get started and I feel like I've missed it, I may just stop and start again. I don't know. I got this thought early this morning. I woke up 5:30 and couldn't go back to sleep. I usually get up about 7, 6, between 6:30 and 7, and I just couldn't go back to sleep. And so I got up and read a little bit, and the Lord spoke to me out of this very familiar passage in Luke chapter number 15. And I may just give you seven little points quickly tonight, but I want to read probably as comfortable or as familiar a scripture as there is in the Word of God. And that's the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son. And I want you to to notice what it says. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I want to take just a little thought out of verse number 13, and it says, and took his journey into a far country. I'd like to talk to you for just maybe a few minutes, and especially you young people, I want you to pay attention if you would. I want to talk about life in the far country. Life in the far country. And so as we come to this text, here's the fact of the matter, young people. There'll come a day in your life, many of you all are manipulated, controlled, directed, whatever other word I can put with that, by your parents. And really, your choices are not your choices, they're your parents' choices. And you need to understand that that's the right way. You're to be submissive to your parents. They have your best interest at heart, and that's how it ought to be. But I want to say this to you. There's going to come a day in your life that you get to make your own decisions. You get to make your own decisions. If you don't want to come to church, you won't have to come to church. If you don't want to do right, you won't have to do right. If you want to go into the far country and get away from mom and dad and get away from their lifestyle, you can do that. It'll be your decision, young folk. That's coming in your life somewhere. Some of you boys, Caleb, how old are you? Do you realize in 4 years, and you may not, I've got the utmost confidence in you, in 4 years, you'll be, legally speaking, you'll be an adult. Ben, you're 12. In 6 years, you'll be an adult. Really? In 6 years, you can join the military. You can leave mom and dad. You can do whatever you want to. You say, preacher, that just don't seem right. That's how it is. That's the world we live in. Young folk, I want you to understand, somewhere mom and dad's going to quit making your decisions for you, and you're going to be making those decisions. And when you start making those decisions, it's whatever you choose. It's not what mom and dad says. It's not, son, you get up, you're going to church this morning, or you're going to church tonight. It's not that at all. Oh no, those days will be gone. No more will they be able to dictate to you and tell you how it is. You can do what you want to do. As we come to this text, that's where this young man's at. Now, I understand he had to ask his father for his substance. I understand that. I'll tell you why I think the father gave it to him. I think the father knew that he was sideways, and he thought this might help him a little bit instead of hurt him. But if you read the text, the father said, hey, I guess this is what the father's saying. It's your life, son. I tried to raise you right. I tried to get you to do right. But if you want to make that choice, you're old enough now, you can do what you want to do, and I'll give you what's yours, and you make the best out of it you want to make. And so as I look at this text, I see this, and I've thought about what was running through this younger son's mind. I guess he thought this: I'm sick of going to church. I'm sick of trying to do right and be Mr. Goody Goody. I'm sick of that. I see my friends and I see how they're living, what fun they're having, and I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of rules. I'm tired of restrictions. I'm tired of somebody looking over my shoulder and giving me that look. I'm tired of that. I want something different. I want to live life. I mean, I want to have a life. I'm tired of living under Dad's laws and Dad's rules. I suspect maybe that's where he was. But I want you to notice what it says there. The younger said, I'm in verse 12, the younger them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Little selfishness there. We see that. And he divided unto them to them his living. And it looked like he hung around for a day or two, just maybe to make a good show of things. I don't know. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country. And so here's what he said: I don't want this lifestyle. I don't want church. I don't want God. I don't want this being my every time the door's open, me being here. I don't want to live. I want to live the way I want to live. And to do that, he couldn't stay in the father's house. And young folk, let me say this. You can't live like hell itself and stay in a godly home without it creating all kinds of problems. You just can't do it. If you have godly parents and you're going to live that way, what's going to have to happen in your life to live like the world coming from a godly home, you're going to have to get out of it. Because godly parents will not back down on the truths of the Word of God. They just won't do it. And so here he is, and he thinks the far country is where he needs to be. He has some ideas in his mind what will make his life happy. And so the first thing I see in the far country when we look at this fella, he does indeed have freedom. He has a pocket full of money now, and he's free to do whatever he wants to do. I mean, there's no dad there telling him what to do. There's no elder brother that's telling the parent and saying, hey, you better watch your younger son there. He's been into this and into that. No, there's none of that. When he got in the far country, when he first got there, by the way, young folk, the far country's a picture of the world. It's a picture of the world. It's a picture of somebody says, I don't want to live for God. I want to live like they live. I want to do like they do out there. I see what fun they're having. I won't have that fun. Well, that's where this fellow was. And so when he got to the far country, everything looked right. Everything looked right, and everything seemed to be going right. I mean, I want you to notice what it says. Verse 13, he took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Man, he is living it up. He's drinking of a night. He was, if drugs were back then, he's doing the drugs. The son said that he had wasted his substance with harlots, I believe, if I can find that. And so, yeah, verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And so he was chasing women, young folk. He was chasing women. He was living an adulterous, fornicating lifestyle. No doubt he started to cuss and curse and dress like the world, look like the world, act like the world. I mean, it's just what he wanted. It's what he wanted. Here's what I'm thinking when he first got there, started living that lifestyle and living it up. No doubt he thought this, man, I found it. I mean, this is it. No wonder they're so happy. No wonder the world's so happy. I mean, I can do whatever I want to do and nobody's saying nothing about it. In fact, they're putting their stamp of approval on it and helping me to do what I want to do. And so there's freedom. And I might say to you young folk, you can get in the world, and at the first, it may be appealing to you. I mean, you may think, you ever notice the beer commercials on TV, young people? They always show a new car with beautiful women. They associate a new car. Do they ever show an alcoholic who spent his whole paycheck on alcohol, laying in the gutter with urine and vomit on him? They ever show you that? They always show you how glamorous it is. The new car, the women, laughing and joking, nobody's sad. They never show you little children crying because mom and dad has been hooked on alcohol. They never show you any of that. They always show you the happy part of it. And here's what you'll think when you first get in. See, if you're real sad tonight, most likely you're not going to come in here with your head hung down. You're going to come in here and acting like everything's all right. In this room, there's people with problems. But when they come in tonight, they didn't act like they had problems. They just act like life's treating them good and everything's going good. You see, that's how the world does. They don't want to show you the bad side. They let you see the good side, don't you see? And so here's this fella, and he's went out in the world, and all he sees is freedom. He has money in his pocket, and he's living it up. And he's doing what he wants to do. Daddy can't tell him anything. Everything's going his way. He's made the right. I guess he's saying this to himself. Man, I've made the right decision. I've made the right decision. Maybe some of you have been where this fellow was at one time. Maybe you've grown up in a godly home and you've gotten out in the world and you've tasted the things in the world. Some of you testified, as I have, that we were saved at a young age and sinned more after salvation than we did before we were saved. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe, just maybe, you've been out in the world, you've tasted the world, and you thought, man, this is the way it is. Young people, that's deceptive. Here's what I want you to know. When you first get in the world, it looks like, a lot of times, it looks like you've made the right decision. Can I just say this? You made a horribly wrong decision. You've not made the right decision. We're going to see that in just a minute. But at first, see, the devil lets it go good in your life so he can get you, if you'll let me say it this way, sucked into the world. Get you rooted into the world. And here's what you're thinking, man, this is going good. This is going good. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't go good. There's more to the story than the first few days or the first few weeks or the first few months or maybe even the first year or two in the world. I don't know how long his money held out, but here's what I see. At first, it looked good. There was freedom. And man, that's what he wanted. He's sick of people telling him what to do. He's sick of people standing over his shoulder and saying, you ought not do this, and you ought to do this, and you ought not do that. And no more. He doesn't have that anymore. But then, I want you to see what else happens in the world. The world will make a fool out of you. That's right. The world will make a fool out of you. You're sitting here on these pews tonight. When the world gets through with you, it'll make a fool out of you. I want you to notice his foolish actions. Now here's his dad. Think about a dad who's labored all his life and apparently farmers and maybe successful farmers and labored all his life, and his son said, I want what's mine. Listen, if I have anything, I want you to give it to me now. I don't want to wait. I want it right now. And his dad said, okay, son. If that's what you want, I'll give it to you. But I want you to notice what he did in verse number 13. We see foolish actions. The Bible says this in the last part of that verse, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, he didn't go down there and buy a farm with what money he had. He didn't go down there, get a job, buy him a house in the city and take care of the things of life you have to take care of. Oh, no, he's too smart for that. He wanted to live riotous or a sinful lifestyle, and he spent his money on that sinful lifestyle. And by the way, when sin gets through with you, it'll take what you have. You just go ahead and mark that down. That may be one of my points here in a minute. But I'm telling you, when sin gets through with you, it'll take what you have. You may think you're living a good life, but all the time it's taking and it's taking. And you think you're getting something from it, but really what you're doing, you're giving everything of value that you have to sin. That's what's happening to you. And it looks like you're the one coming out on top, and the devil's making a fool out of you. That's what he's doing. The devil's making a fool out of this young man here. And he thinks he's so smart, and he's so on top of his game, and he knows what he wants in life, and the devil's going to make a fool out of him and laugh at him when he gets done with him. Oh my. Here's what he done with his money. He wasted it. Here's what he done with the valuables his father had given him. By the way, your parents give you a lot of valuable things you don't even realize. If your parents give you self-discipline, that's a great, valuable asset in your life. If they give you if they instill in you the truths of the Word of God, they've given you a great character trait in your life. And we could just start talking about the things that parents give that are of value. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about things more valuable than money. My, here's a fella. He just took what his parents had worked out and labored to give to him, and he just wasted it on sin. That's what the world will do to you, young folk. It will brainwash you to think you can take valuable things in your life and trade them for sin, and you're coming out ahead. You say, "Preacher, that was stupid for him to spend what his dad gave him on sinful life." But he thought he was coming out ahead. Some way, when he got in the world and got around that crowd, something, well, you know who it was. You know who blinds the minds of this world? That's the devil, don't you see? And so the devil had his mind blinded. He's trading valuable things for things of no value and thinks he's coming out. That's what the world will do to you.
Amen.
It'll take what's valuable in your life and give you nothing in return except heartache. And so we see his foolish actions. And then I want to say this to you. We see his finances. The cost of sin. We talked about it today. Young folk, you can live that righteous lifestyle. If you choose to, you young people can live like hell itself when you get a certain age. But you listen to this old preacher, it'll cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. It'll cost you a whole lot more. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. I guess we could go back to Lot this morning, where we preached this morning. Look what it cost Lot. Can I tell you? It cost him everything. And we're going to see the prodigal in just a little bit. We get down a little farther. It cost him everything. Now listen, you'll have a choice. You three boys right there, you two boys, you girls over here, you'll have a choice. If you want to live in sin, you know what the devil say? Man, you're going to be happy. It's going to be a good life for you, but you got to pay me. You got to pay me. If you're going to play, you got to pay. And the devil will be telling you, but it's worth it. But can I tell you, it's going to cost you much more than you want to pay. You say, what did it cost the prodigal? What did it cost the prodigal son? Let me just tell you, it cost him everything. When sin got through with the prodigal son, guess how much he had left? Nothing. He'll take everything you boys have. He'll take your purity. He'll take your dignity. He'll take your self-respect and your abusing pride in a right sense, not a sinful sense. He'll take your pride. I mean, he'll take everything you've got, take your health away from you. He'll take it all. When sin gets through with you, if you keep fooling with sin, it'll cost you everything. Amen. There's folks that's dealt with alcohol and drugs. It's cost them their marriage. It's cost them their children. It's cost them their health. It's cost them their self-respect. Their dignity. They cannot keep a job. It's cost them their job, maybe many times a good job. And probably I could name four or five other things if I chose to. And you say, preacher, what is that? That's the price of sin. That's what you pay to be the sinner. Oh my, I'm saying to you, you can do it. It's your choice. Do what you choose to do. But you understand this, there's a price tag on sin, and the price of sin is much more than you'll want to pay. You better get that down. And so we see that his finances lasted for a while, but soon he's bankrupt. They're insufficient to carry him through life. Just insufficient to carry him. Sin took everything he had. And then here's something on top of all that. I'm thinking in the far country, it'd be bad enough to be down there and be bankrupt and everything going good. But here's what happened. Went bankrupt and a famine come. On top of his bankruptcy and his finances being gone, a famine comes along in his life. I mean, a famine. And by the way, can I tell you what's happening? God's getting ready to speak to him all the time. Getting ready to speak to him. And so here he is, and the famine's come around. Hard times come. And folks, if you're living right, hard times come in our lives. From time to time. I mean, you can be the best Christian there ever. He is trying to do the best you can, living as good as you know how. And sometimes there's just hard times that come in life. Just famine times. Just times that you can't, things just don't go right. Maybe you struggle financially, or maybe you struggle spiritually, or maybe in the family there's a struggle. There's just times that it just doesn't go right. But I'm telling you, you're really in bad shape when you've strayed on God, spent all you've got, and then famine comes in your life. That's where he was. Famine has come in his life, and so now he's in a very difficult position. Now, can I tell you, there's a famine in the far country, but there's food back home. If he'd just stayed at home, he wouldn't be having any problems. But he wanted to live this lifestyle. He thought this is what he wanted. He thought this was better than what he had back at home. But can I tell you, it's not come to his mind yet. It's not hit his mind. It's not come to him. He's not got it figured out yet. He's still thinking down there in the far countries where he wants to be. But can I tell you young folks something? It sure is a lot better back at the Father's house. It's a lot better, young folk. Now here's what I'm saying to you. It's your choice, but I want to tell you this. It's a whole lot better at the house of God than it is out there in the world trying to make it. That's right. I'm telling you right this evening. And so here he is, and I'm just talking about life in the far country. I'm telling you, the world is a vicious place. You that's been down the road a while, you know the world is a cold, hard-hearted, vicious, consuming place for people to be. I mean, it just eats up folks. It just destroys lives. And you become victims of this or that or whatever. The world is a dangerous place. And here's what he says. I want to be in the world. I want out there. I want away from the protection and the provision of the Father. I want to do it my way. I want to go my way. And he's doing that. But now hard times has come. And his life is in jeopardy. But now he wasted his living with riotous living and harlots. They'll probably help him. I mean, them harlots, he bought them alcohol and he bought them drinks. And I guess sometimes he would go in and say, hey, the drinks are on me. Just everybody have a round. And everybody loved him, patting him on the back. They'll help him, won't they? Isn't that right? The friends of the world, they'll help you. That's right. I mean, that's the ones that are going to help you. Isn't that who helped the prodigal son? I mean, let's read the text and see what it said. I want to ask you, where's them harlots at he was so close to and such friends with? Where are they at? Where's his drinking buddies now? Where's his drugging buddies now? Where's his cussing buddies now? Where are they at? That's what I want to know. I mean, he's up against hard times. Everybody surely is not having hard times. Why don't some of them help him? I want to tell you young people something, what life is like in the far country. Your friends are fake. You better listen. 5:30 this morning, I was reading this. God started speaking to my heart about it. Young people, the friends you find in the world that'll drink with you and cuss with you and run with you to all your excesses of sins, they're nothing but a bunch of fakes getting what they can off of you. And when you go bankrupt, there'll be nowhere to be found. Amen, preacher. I'm telling you right. You better listen to me. You go bankrupt, friend, they won't be nowhere around to help you. Well, let's see what it says. Verse 14 again. When he had spent all, there rose mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and his harlot friends helped him. It's not what it says, is it? His drinking buddies stepped up and took up a collection for him. Not what it says. Now here's what it says. And he began to be in want. He began to be in want. Nobody to help him. Young folk, you go ahead and choose the world if you want to. But when you get out there and you go bankrupt and hard times come, there won't be nobody there to help you. The world is a selfish world. It's a self-centered world. If you can help them, they'll be your buddy. But when they've got all they can get, when the world's got everything it can get off of you, it'll throw you away like a worn out pair of shoes. Exactly right. And so here he is in want and nobody to help him. That's what life in the far country is about. That's what it's about. Oh, you say it's living it up, it's having a good time for a little while, but not long. Not long. It soon catches up with you. And so here he is and he has nobody. So he says this, I'll take care of things myself. I'm supposed to be a man now and I'm going to take care of things myself. And it says this at verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, So he gets him a job, so to speak. He goes to work on the farm. He grew up on the farm. He knows how to farm. So he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And by we could talk about how the swine is such an insult to the Jewish race. And I'm not going to go there tonight, but this was a demeaning, insulting job to him. This was an insult. Can I tell you, young folks, he didn't have any pride now. He's out there. He would have eaten with the hogs if they would have allowed him to. He wanted to eat the hust at the hogs. That's how hungry he was. And he's out there feeding the swine. And I'm just trying to think how nasty he must have been. How dirty he was. And now, can I tell you, he's from a good family. He's from a good family. He's from a church-going family, most likely. The Bible doesn't say that, but the implication is the father was a blessed man. And the father, we could say a lot, that's a picture. You can get a picture of our Heavenly Father out of that. That's beautiful. But here's the father. And this fellow, you'll have to admit, he's from a good family. Hard-working family. A family, no doubt, of reputation, well thought of. But see, he wasn't going to far country. Now he's lost all his self-respect. Can I just tell young folks, he's a joke. He's a joke. Sin has made a joke out of this young fella. I'm talking about life in the far country. Go ahead, choose that life of sin. It'll be your choice one day. But if you choose to go in the far country, you've made a great mistake. You listen to what the preacher's saying. You've made a grave, serious, I want to say damning or destructive would be a better word. You made a destructive mistake in your life. And so here he is with no self-respect. He had lost so much respect, he would have got down in the trough with the pigs and eat. Man, that's sad right there. A man from a good home. He, even when he comes to himself a little bit, he says, even my father's servants have bread to eat. He said, the servants of my father are doing better than I'm doing. You think sin's worth the price tag on it? Oh, I'm telling you, don't pay the cost that sin demands. Just stay away from it, young people. Stay away from sin. You'll get to choose one day. And when you do get to choose, say, no, I know what you're doing, devil. You're making it look good, but there's no good in sin.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. No friends, no finances. Now he has no freedom. He doesn't have any freedom now. He can't do what he wants to do. He's doing what he has to do. He's forsaken. He has no man to help him. It reminds me of the fellow at the pool. There's no man. But I'm glad there's one. You see, after he lost his freedom, after he wasted his substance, lost his finances, after he lost his self-respect and his dignity, we see the favor of God comes his way. I'm glad no matter how far you slip, the grace of God can still come to you and help you, aren't you? Young person, you may go out in the world, you may somewhere think you've got it figured out, you may ignore this preacher's message this evening. You may get in the world and lose it all and go to the depths of sin. But praise God, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that'll come to you every now and then and wake you up and show you where you're at. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He come to him and helped him to see Christ. And he said, this, hey, it's a lot better back at the Father's house. I believe I'll just go there and see how I do for a while. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. We see the favor of God in the far country. Well, the Lord hadn't forsaken him. Now, here's how the story tells. Here's how the Bible tells it in verse 17. And when he came to himself, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something starts clicking. I mean, he starts thinking right. Brother Steve, he hadn't thought right since he... Matter of fact, he wasn't thinking right when he left. But now, the reality of where he's at and who he is, here's what we would say today in our analogy. We'd say Holy Ghost conviction settled in on his heart. That's what we'd say. That's the picture here. That's when God comes to the sinner and shows him exactly where he's at, and how pitiful he is, and what a mess he's made out of his life. And he says this, you'd be a lot better off if you turn to the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does to sinners today. That's a picture of what's going on right here, don't you see? And so here he is, and he comes to himself. Now he's thinking right. I don't know. You say, what happened made him think right? I'll tell you what I think. I think God came to him. I think God dealt with his heart. Now here's what he said. How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Here's what he said, I'm dying, I'm perishing. That's where the sinner's got to get to. I know they make this, there's a cheap salvation preached out there today. Just pray this and say this and sign this and you're saved. I'm going to tell you, no man come to him except the Father draw him. You better not ever leave the Holy Spirit out of this thing of salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. That's right. We just declare the message and see what God's going to do with it, don't you see? Well, here he is. And all of a sudden he came to himself and he said, it's a lot better before than what it is now. Young folk, the far country's no place for a young person to be. I started saying young believer, it's really no place for a young sinner to be. The far country has nothing to offer you. It'll only take and take and take and take. That's all to do. Young people, I want to tell you this. You may not like the rules. You may not like... Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You may not like that. You may not like saying, hey, you need to be in church here. You need to be in church this Sunday. You need every time the door's up. You may not like that. But listen to me, young people. It's a lot better at the Father's house than it is in the far country. Oh, you better heed what I'm saying this morning. You may think you want the far country. You don't want to be in that world. You don't want the far country. My, it's a whole lot better at the Father's house. Well, we saw his freedom. He lost it. We saw his foolish actions. He wasted it. We saw his finances, their insufficiency. We saw the famine, the hard times. We saw his friends that failed him. We saw he's forsaken of all men. But God came to him. Ain't nothing like God. You know what he said? I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek. You remember when he sought you out? Man, I do, plain as yesterday. I'm 61 years old and I wasn't even 13 at the time. Just almost 13. 3 months shy of 13, I guess it was. 3 months and a couple of weeks. Shy, 13 years old. You say God don't care about 12-year-old boys. He did this 12-year-old boy. You say, preacher, how do you know? He came to me and started dealing with my heart. Showed me as lost. Give me a desire for him. And when I called on him, he saved my unworthy soul. You say, what happened? I found favor with God. The grace of God. Young folk, let me just say this to you. Old folk alike. Really, I'm preaching young folk, but I'm preaching old. Do you know Solomon's old man, when he failed God, we almost started on Ecclesiastes tonight. I was wrestling around with it again, and I just can't seem to get liberty. Young folk, here's what's going to happen. Someday you're going to be tempted to go into the far country. It's going to look so appealing to you. It's going to look like it's just what you want. That's the life you want to live. But I want to tell you, it's a deceptive picture. It's a deceptive thought. Stay out of the world, young people. Stay at the Father's house. That's where happiness is. And I'd like to just go over there and talk about the Father, but that's not the message tonight. Maybe you're here and you've already started dabbling in the world. I don't know. I don't know really. I know it's a small church and I know a lot of things, but I really don't know the secret things of your life. I understand that. There's things you don't know about me. But I do know this. There's a God in heaven that'll help you if you need help. Maybe you've played in the world. Maybe you dabbled in the world. You thought that's what you wanted. God's spoken to your heart. And he showed you that true happiness at the Father's house. Young people, stay out of the world. Someday it'll be your decision. I just want to say to you, stay out of the world. My, it's a terrible life. It's a horrible life. It's a costly life. It'll cost you everything. But if you're in the world tonight, can I say this? You don't have to stay there. You can come back home. Can I just tell you that? If you've strayed from the Father, you can come back home. He wants you to. He's watching. He's looking to see if you'll take a step towards him. He'll take a step towards you. You draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. That's what it says. He won't beat you up. He won't be angry at you. You know what he'll do? Instead of beat you up, he'll clean you up. Yes. Stay out of the world. If you're in the world, get out of it. Get back to the Father's house. Let's bow our heads. Says, King, if you'll just come, play softly. That's the burden of my heart tonight. That's the burden of my heart. Please stay out of the world. Please stay out of the world. Give your life. Give your life to God. Oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it, young folk.